Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
We now return to Craig Campbell from Nerdburger Games talking about Capers. After successfully funding Above and Beyond on Kickstarter, we wanted to ask Craig what the plans for the game are now, and he answered them, despite our best efforts to derail him. Enjoy. Now that Capers has been successfully funded, what is the process like now?
Well, first I took half the money and I went on vacation.
Oh, okay.
No. Who said that? No.
We went on a bootlegging trip ourselves.
I bought a bunch of beer. No. It's a whole series of steps of getting. It's a weird being in the pub. You know, like I call it. You know, like I'm in publisher mode now, where I'm not designing anything more for the game. I've got a couple of people that are producing a little bit of content to go in the game, so I'm doing a little bit of development and editing. But and then otherwise, I'm mostly coordinating other people. So I've got layout person, cartographer, artist, graphic designer, eventually a proofreader, that are all doing stuff. And I'm just making sure all those threads are coming together into a nice rug, a pretty rug that everybody will enjoy getting later this year. So it's just making sure, you know, keeping all those pieces moving and answering questions as soon as they come up from the other contributors, the people that are doing all the stuff that I can't do or don't have time to, or don't know how. Getting feedback to them quickly, answering questions as quickly as possible, occasionally nudging them gently. If I haven't heard in a little, you know, about something in a little while, and just bringing it all together. So the post Kickstarter through publishing is heavy, heavy organizational kind of stuff.
And so what is your timetable looking like for being able to get it out to your backers?
Well, the promise in the Kickstarter is the end of the year, so December of this year. I think there's a good chance we'll hit faster than that, just because I know where everything stands. I know how long it took us to do Murders and Acquisitions. Mm-hmm. We should be able to turn this one around in at least the same amount of time, at most the same amount of time than M&A, and hopefully faster because, the layout guy, this is now his second time doing one of these books. And so he's faster at the process and we were better prepared for, you know, there was a lot of stuff that we did before some of the artist and the layout person and so forth got going now that will help, that is helping them move faster now. So
I see.
Because we learned lessons from the first time around.
Yeah.
So things are moving more smoothly post Kickstarter this time than they did last time.
Right. Because it's a learning experience. So you take what you know from the last one and you can apply it now.
Yeah. Well, you have to. I mean, it's if you don't, you're kind of doing yourself and the fan base a disservice. Like, you know, ideally you want the fan base to be confident that, okay, well, they delivered the last Kickstarter in the time amount of time they said, and they said this time we're going to hit it, you know, in that amount of, this amount of time here. And if you don't hit that now, well, now you're losing their trust.
Right.
And I've made a very conscious effort to state that Nerdburger Games is committed to turning over Kickstarter rewards and fulfillment in an efficient and timely manner and hitting our deadlines that we're telling you, you know, which is why everything gets written beforehand and it's edited before we even press the button on the Kickstarter. So I'm not still writing 7 chapters of material after the Kickstarter. There are people that do that, and that means that it's going to take them a year, year and a half, maybe more, to wrap it up. But I'm trying very much to not drag the game out for my own peace of mind, not drag it out that long.
Right.
There comes a point where it's like, I'm done designing. I just want this thing out the door now. So I'm going to really hunker down and.
Right. Make sure they're
fully prepared post Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And let's get her done.
Yeah.
Pardon the phrase. I can't believe I am really angry with myself for saying get her done.
What's the 20s equivalent to get her done?
I want to fulfill the Kickstarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so mad at myself for saying that.
That's okay. You know why it's okay is because when I think about like the perfect truck to run booze across a state line, it's Mater.
Yeah, just a little Rust bucket, piece of crap. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. That's good. That's good right there. Now, talking about art, because you had mentioned that a second ago, is all the artwork already done for the game?
No, the artwork that you see, if you go to the Kickstarter page and look at page itself or look and watch the video, all the artwork that was done up till that point is actually in the video. You know, those were specific pieces of art that were done that are going to be part of the book, but they're also good for the video.
Sure.
But there's a lot of artwork that's still being worked on. And in fact, as of yesterday, I received the last round of sketches for all of the artwork. So the artwork is all being done by Beth Varney. She's doing the entire book.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And so she's doing it. It's like she's going to sketch them all and I'm going to give her feedback. And then she's going to do line work on everything and I'm going to give feedback. And then she's going to color everything.
Excellent.
So we just now, like a month after the Kickstarter wrapped up, I have all the sketches. I have all my feedback done, except for like as we're talking right here, I've got like a couple of things I'm still toying around within my head. I'm going to get feedback to her in the next couple of days and then she'll go into line work. And so hopefully, you know, like in another month or a few weeks, I'll start seeing at least some of the line work, or she may send it all to me at once. I hope she sends some of it in chunks so that I don't have to review 50 pieces of artwork at the same time.
Oh yeah.
Which isn't the end of the world, because to be honest, I trust Beth. She does really good work. We've worked together, a bunch on this, and she did a bunch of work on Murders and Acquisitions. And only occasionally do I really make her change too much about the artwork, because she has a very good sense of what the world is supposed to look like. She's done a bunch of artwork so far. So I think moving forward, it'll all move very smoothly. You know, there'll be a hiccup here and there on a certain piece where it's like, that's not what I was envisioning. Let's talk about this. But mostly she's going to nail it, because she's a professional.
It's always nice when you have professionals around. I was wondering that myself, like if you had one artist, because it looked like the style was consistent through all of the art. And I like the fact it almost has a comic book style to it.
That was done on purpose.
Okay. All right. So I'm not saying anything revolutionary here. This was by design.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the way I never really talk about it in the book that way, but the way I kind of think about it too, is like this, in this world where these superpowered people are, you know, exist in the 20s, this is stated in the book that they're kind of tabloid personalities. Like they get covered in newspapers and magazines, and you know, people are like, ooh, wow, you know, they're the tabloid stars of the day, sort of. And you know, in another decade, when this world starts to have comic books in the 30s, then maybe that's what the comic books of this world are.
Oh, okay.
Is based on these people.
Right, right. So it's almost like a historical legend of sorts.
Kind of. They're going to move into the idea of illustrated, you know, literature, comics, where they're going to be telling stories of these larger than life characters, which isn't terribly different from what, for example, you got with dime novels during the late 1800s, where they were telling these kind of overblown stories about Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday and so forth.
Right.
And so you get the same kind of thing, but now it's, you know, they have the capability of producing some really cool looking illustrations to go with it, and they can do stuff in color and everything else, and they put stuff in newspapers and they sell, you know, books and magazines that are these stories, and that's the comics of this world potentially in the 30s. If I were to ever do like the 1930s or 40s version of this game, where it might be, okay, it's not Prohibition anymore, but it's something else, it might be a noir thing or something. It's like, I imagine in that world there will be comic books of characters from Capers.
I mean, I guess it makes sense if you have a world where people have like these special powers. It's a pretty good use of a comic book format to tell those stories.
Sure, absolutely. It's one of those things that, you know, the opportunity is there. Like in the early stages, I imagine it this way anyway, in the early stages of this, it's like the people who are reporting, because people with superpowers are kind of new. Like there's not a lot of them. There's not necessarily that many. You don't necessarily know somebody personally, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're reading the tabloid stories. But then as it becomes part of the the public zeitgeist and it's all part of our collective consciousness, then it's like, well, now people are just going to start making stuff up and telling their own stories.
I was wondering, well, you said they're kind of newish, but I was going to say, what would World War One have been like with superpowers?
Well, ooh. In the world of Capers, I actually had the superpowers start to crop up shortly after World War One, because that was a question I was like, that's a hard question to answer too. So I thought I'd just keep it to be a little newer. If you really want to play the game about superpowered beings during a world war, there's a game called Godlike that is about exactly that. It's World War II with superpowered people.
Oh, so more like the Captain America sort of story.
Super soldiers?
Not quite as comic booky. There's a definite historicism to the game. Where the cool thing about the artwork in that too is like the artwork is all public domain photography.
Oh, wow.
So it's all, you know, it's all real photography of World War II, but they've superimposed people doing super heroic things, you know, with digitally, basically they've painted these people in doing that. You know, there's one shot of like a bunch of troops marching and there's a person, pew, you know, zooming by in the sky flying.
Yeah.
You know,
nice.
Or you've got like in the background of a battle, tanks and jeeps and whatnot, and then there's somebody that's like lifting a tank up.
Yeah,
like, in the background. But so it's like the game is set up in such a way that like you're not gonna your super powered person is not going to win or lose the war. The soldiers are still going to win or lose the war, but your super powered person is going to have a serious impact.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of taking the concept and going back to like the Age of Philosophy and call it Copernicus.
No,
I already feel bad, Alex. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
I didn't have to say it. You just feel.
I already feel bad, but you know what? I had to do it.
You're fired.
No, I can't be fired. My superpower is being unfireable.
I don't even know what that means.
Then you're on fire.
Oh, I am like the Human Torch, but in reverse.
Okay.
I am the human extinguisher.
Sure.
That's probably a good skill to have during the Age of Prohibition.
Yeah, the last thing you want is your legal, you know, alcohol warehouse catching on fire. You got to be able to put that out.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You're super fire retardant, man.
There's something. Yeah, you have to make sure to check me every month to make sure that I'm still functioning properly, though.
Yeah, you got to press this little button.
Yeah,
energize
every year. Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I am certified by the fire department, so that
he gets inspected.
I get inspected. Yeah,
the inspector comes out. Got to check his inspection signature and date. Make sure that he's up to code.
Yeah, I need Inspector Gadget Man to come out and do that work. Oh, it's Inspector Tragic. Anyway,
come on to talk about the game. Go home crying about the puns.
No, that's okay. Puns are fun.
Puns are fun. Capers and Robbers is a really interesting game. It does not have anything to do with fans of the television show The Cape, even though that is about a superhero, but no one cared. It is about the 1920s. And if you were to do a story like this in another era of American history, what would be the next one you'd want to tackle?
Well, I'm actually giving thought to that because I've had people suggest the idea of just like building a whole little universe about this. And so I've kind of established the idea that superpowers came out of, you know, shortly after World War One. So, you know, if I stick with that, I think, you know, I mean, I mentioned it earlier, but I think taking it into like the 30s or 40s and having it be noir stories. And so it becomes, you know, crime, corruption, private detectives and femme fatales and. So you can port some of you know, like the superpoweriness of it might be, you know, you might rein it back a little bit and not include quite so many like energy blaster kind of powers. Maybe,
sure.
Maybe it needs to be a little more subtle. You need to develop like a really good investigation mechanic.
Yeah.
And give powers that are a little more subtle and that are more about social situation and antagonizing each other and, trying to outsmart each other, and you know, having the cops or the private detective, you know, find the criminal or whatever. That's something you could do. Should inspiration strike and I decide to actually expand it to a whole little world?
So here's a thought too, is you could kind of do a little bit of a mashup with your two games. So like Murders and Acquisitions and Capers, and take it into like the 80s and do something like Wall Street. and so then it would be like climbing the corporate ladder. But, you know, Gordon Gekko has ice powers now. That would just be a whole other thing.
Well, that character is ice cold in that movie. I mean, he is ruthless. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that
maybe he's got the animal affinity power and he can transform into a gecko.
Oh, that would be great. It would be so cool if you could actually.
And thus Geico is born.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Greed is good. And also saving money in 15 minutes by going to Geico.com.
If they ever decide to who's the actor that played Gordon Gecko? I'm blanking on the name.
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas, right. If whoever does the voice of the Geico Gecko ever retires, they should just get Michael Douglas to do it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Even for one commercial, just one time, and have him go in there and do, like, you know, pull off like some variation on a line from the movie or something like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It all has to do with finances, so.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Money is what, you know, Geico is always talking to you about saving money. So,
oh yeah, saving money and greed is good.
Greed is good. Yeah,
there are definitely some interesting things you could do with gecko based games in general.
Oh, geez.
Now I want to design a gecko game.
Oh yeah, that would be pretty great. Oh yeah, it could be like Capers, but just everyone's a lizard.
Everyone's a little salamander looking guy.
Everyone's gecko. Like a little anole.
Everybody can lick their eyeball.
That is a superpower. I guess it would be like if Killer Croc was just cuddly, just small, just kind of like hangs around.
So you want him to be Cuddly Croc?
Cuddly Croc, yeah.
Yeah, Cuddles Croc, the cuddliest crocodile of all. You could market that.
Who's a cuddly crocodile? Who's a cuddly crocodile? Are you a cuddly crocodile?
I'm not going to push you into the sewer system. No. That's an alligator. Oh, you could make an alligator way cuddlier, though, than a crocodile, come to think of it. I think that in general.
Only after a while.
Oh. Later.
See what I did there?
Sadly. Yes, I did. But you know what? I blame myself.
Yeah, you probably should.
Why is it called Nerdburger Games?
That actually came out of my podcast that me and my friend Mike do. We started a little over 5 years ago, and we were trying to come up with a name for the podcast, and it's basically just kind of a potpourri discussion of all sorts of geeky, nerdy stuff. So it's kind of everything. It doesn't, you know, we hit on news items, and then we have longer topics, and we have guests come on and talk, and it's all very slathered over with humor. It's very conversational, and we just, you know, we're toying around with different ideas for names, and Mike's actually the one who came up with it, and was the, you know, the Nerdburger podcast, which is out there, nerdburgershow.com. And so, you know, like when I decided to do the game thing a few years ago, I was like, I toyed around with a bunch of different ideas for game company names, and ultimately settled on Nerdburger Games. I thought I'm already associated a little bit with this podcast for whatever our audience is. You know, I don't know how it's not a huge audience, but it's there. Yeah. It's a name that doesn't take itself too seriously. It's like, you know, and the games that I design are, for the most part, they're, you know, I'm shooting for fun. I'm just, you know, there are games out there that delve into some pretty serious topics and get a little darker or touch on like human condition kind of stuff a little bit more. And you can do some of that with these games. You can tell deeper stories, but that's for the group to decide if they want to kind of go down that road. I'm just like, you know, okay, here's a game about being gangsters with superpowers. Pew, pew, pew. A little bit of escapism and have some fun with it. And, you know, the Nerdburger Games name seemed to...
Sure.
Was appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got a little scared thinking that you were going to turn nerds into burgers.
No.
I mean, that could be a superpower.
Yeah. That's a, not a power. I don't think anybody wants that power. Except jocks. Damn jocks.
Jocks. What is this? The mid-80s jocks and nerds?
Oh, yeah. Guess what? Nerds.
Yeah,
revenge
guess.
Nerds. Burgers.
Guess what? All the jocks are nerds now. They're all into Marvel movies. All the jocks are nerds.
No,
they all go to the Star Wars movies. They're all nerds now.
Oh, no.
And as a friend of mine has pointed out on numerous occasions, fantasy football is just D&D for jocks.
I mean, it is just number crunching.
Yep. Yeah. So basically, we won.
We won Beta House.
Yep. That's good. Oh, what was the house that they were part of in Revenge of the Nerds?
Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
Oh, Lambda.
Was it?
They were the Tri-Lambs. The jock house was Alpha, or was, they were Alpha something. I think they might have been Alpha Beta, but they were always referred to as the Alphas. Actually, if you're going to make a nerd house, especially if it's like computer nerds and computer game nerds, then Beta House is absolutely the right name for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You'd have to be the Beta House, because then they're all in their beta testing constantly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I guess that's a thing you can go and do, guys. if you're out there and you happen to be in college, you need to create a frat. Just call it Beta. And
yeah,
maybe
just,
maybe,
you know, just whip up a frat like you do.
Yeah, because that's how things work.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's simple. Everybody does it.
There's no national organization and charter system. You just make a frat.
Yep, you just do it. You just put a sign out in front of a house and say, this is frat now. That's what happens. No, don't worry about it. It's what we call a startup. That's what they call startups is frat houses.
You're going to crowdfund a frat.
There you go.
Oh, that would be good. That would be pretty.
Kickstart a frat house.
Call it Crowd House.
Crowd House. That sounds like it would be a really interesting website. It could be a whole platform.
It sounds like a tight living space.
If you back the crowd funded frat, or we'd have to come up with a better name for that. Because there's plenty of lady geeks and nerds out there too. So fraternity or sorority is probably not the best word, but whatever the
fraternity.
Yeah, something. We build that thing, and if you back that thing, what does your base backer level get you? Does that mean you can just stop by there and like party sometime? Like, you know, once a month
they get some of the bathtub gin.
Once a month you can come by and hang out.
You get the
they get some of the bathtub gin.
That sounds, and again, no national body that would oversee you making bathtub gin either.
I mean, you could just use a really clean bathtub. Why not?
You get a brand new bathtub.
Come on, the ATF doesn't care. You know, and the FDA.
Not gonna know.
Well, that's true. That's true.
If you're gonna brew alcohol or ferment alcohol in your home and do it poorly and have it be dirty, nobody's gonna stop you.
I suppose that is true. Okay, so what does the initial level get you? I think. You are allowed to take an Instagram picture in front of the house.
That's all you get. You get to have like a. You get
and
a
it
tour.
Gets approved. It gets approved by the house. Okay. The house approves it. It says this is Beta House approved photograph. And maybe you can have a picture with one of the members. Maybe you could get a shirt, but it wouldn't necessarily be a Beta House shirt. It's just a shirt that happened to be lying around.
That's a terrible. Crowdfunding.
And then they could have a little sticker that says, "Hi, I'm from Beta House," and they just stick it on the shirt.
It'd be written in binary though.
Just a ton of zeros and ones on the front of the shirt that says, if you translate it, I back Beta House and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. It takes the whole front of the shirt to tell that to say that in binary.
It would be very small binary as
but
well.
That's just the introductory level. No, sure. there's levels above that, I'm sure. There could be better ones, like you get a free pass to sleep on the couch in the Beta House, but only once a month, and contingent on good behavior.
Sure,
I think.
What do you constitute good behavior for Beta House, Nathan? I think we found your next game is going to be Beta House,
the nerd fraternity / sorority.
I feel like this is an RPG. Actually, it is. It is. How do we crowdfund our new Nerdternity. this is a good one. You know what you could do? You could start a Nerd Burger, and then you could use the profits from your Nerd Burger.
From the actual restaurant.
The actual restaurant, Nerd Burger. Yeah. Which I feel is in direct competition to McDonald's and could probably win. You could theme the burgers for that, too.
You could actually get Rick and Morty sponsorship to it.
There you go.
There's some real good possibilities. Nerd Empire is what happens after that. You have restaurants, you have fraternity houses, you have like the box store, the big box store, Nerd Mart.
But I don't have time for that. I have to fulfill a game. I don't have time for any of this.
Well,
Nathan's just making your workload so much harder.
You can outsource it thanks to NerdRabbit.
To the crowdfunding?
No, instead of TaskRabbit, you can get NerdRabbit.
I think Nathan's gone off the rails by now.
Well, it's probably a good thing that we're talking about the 1920s when railroads were still in very high usage.
Jeez.
Speaking of which, so if anybody was still looking to get a hold of Capers, is there still a way that they could do that?
Yeah, you can. If you go to the Capers RPG Kickstarter page, or if you just go onto Google and search for the backer kit, you can. There's a link to backer kit to the pre-order page. You can also just search it on Google. And there's a page where you can get, it's effectively like a pre-order slash late pledge, where you can get the exact same deal as the base $15 backer level was during Kickstarter. So it gets you everything that, all the base stuff, you know, none of the really cool high stuff, higher level stuff, but like the base stuff that gets you the whole game and all the stuff that goes with it, you can get for $15 at Backer Kit right now. And you can, that gets you the PDF of the game. It gets you all the stretch goal stuff is all part of that. Gets you a bunch of PDF support material. It gets you a discount link to get to purchase yourself a hardcover or softcover, should you want to. And you'll buy those at cost, so they're really cheap. You know, like $7 or $12, depending on what kind of a cover you want. And sure. You also get a discount link that will allow you to purchase a at cost copy of a deck of Capers themed playing cards. So you can have a deck of cards to play that have the Capers logo on the back and have illustrations of NPCs for the face cards.
Is there a cutoff date to get in a late pledge?
The cutoff date is when I publish this thing. So basically, you know, it's going to, you've got a couple months, but that doesn't mean you want to, you know, skip it now. You don't forget about it. Because what'll happen is probably a week or two before, you know, I'll do a round of social media, like, hey everybody, I'm going to close down the late pledge thing in like a week or something, let people know. And, I might do that like a week or two out from the publishing date, that my expected publishing date. So that way I can get all the information from the backer kit and all the information from the Kickstarter and get it all pulled together and figure out who's all getting what and, you know,
okay,
prepare to send all the bits and pieces out to everybody. Okay. But you can also go to the Kickstarter page too. If you want to just scroll down into that, it'll give you a whole rundown of like everything that's part of the game that you get for that $15. Cause there's a lot of all sorts of cool support stuff that goes with that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I imagine you unlocked quite a bit in that process.
Yep. Every stretch goal.
Nice.
Clearly you need more stretch goals.
We had to come up with some. We actually did come up with some, which resulted in a little bit of extra work here now, but it's all been farmed out to people who are, if they're not finished with it, they are darn close to it. So we're well on track. I'm not worried about the a little bit of extra work delaying the publishing.
In quotes in your name, it says Brainstorm. And I was wondering, is that your superhero name?
Yeah, on the website. On the Kickstarter page, we had all of the contributors got to give me like what their supers slash gangster nickname is, because that's one of the things, you know, gangsters have nicknames too.
Oh yeah,
a lot of them do. And so, or you got supers. So the best nickname is a nickname that kind of might be a gangster nickname, but might also be a supers nickname. And so Brainstorm was just the one that I came up with for myself, just being the designer. You know, many of the nicknames that are listed there are thematic to kind of what the person did for the game. So I'm the one who had the Brainstorm.
Very nice. Alex, are you all excited about capering?
I'm excited to make you drink some bathtub gin.
You have very specific desires in your life. You ever notice that?
Sometimes. Very, very much. That's going to be my superpower, is just gin.
on the character sheet, all the information up above, blah, 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 get down to the power, it just says gin. What does that mean? What does the gin power do? Gin.
It means
you've been drinking gin all day. Aren't you drunk? No, I've got a tolerance to it.
Exactly. You don't have to worry about, you know, getting high on your own supply. You can you never get drunk. That sounds like a bummer. Why would you want to be like a rum runner and you can't get drunk? That seems like it.
You just don't get drunk on your own gin, that's all.
Can you get drunk on rum? Like, is it just it's just not your own gin?
Right.
That's a very specific skill.
I've got a particular set of skills.
I don't think I came up with that power. Let me look. No.
Yeah, I just
made it for you. It's your new stretch goal.
I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, so Craig created like a suite of different superpowers that you could potentially have. And yours was impervious to bathtub gin.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, you know what? If you get the game and you want to invent your own powers, go for it. Because once you buy the game, it's not mine anymore. You can do whatever you want with it.
See? Perfect. Bathtub gin away.
I'm not questioning your ability to do it. I'm questioning why.
That doesn't have to be a why, Nathan.
Obviously, I'm going to make my bathtub gin super strong to counteract your skill.
It won't work. Impervious. We'll have a drinking contest.
You haven't been paying attention.
I am going to have a power that magically turns gin into vodka.
That's just a waste of a power.
into rum.
You're gonna be the worst liquor store owner ever.
Well, that's a skill.
You're gonna own a restaurant. Someone's gonna go, I'd like a gin. You're like, rum it is.
Yeah, we'll call it mixed up mixologist. That's my new power. Congratulations. Capers is a really interesting game, Craig, and I'm glad that you were able to come on the show to talk about it.
And we're sorry we turned it into bathtub gin hour.
That's okay. Yeah. You guys are just the worst gangsters ever. That's fine. That's okay. Yeah.
You know what?
Somebody has to be the worst.
We knew our limitations.
It's usually Nathan.
We needed to know.
You are relentless, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you. This every frickin' show.
it's consistent.
It
what
is.
Do you want?
You are nothing but not consistently a pain in the ass. I will give you that. I will give you that. Okay. Well, now that we've established how much of a pain in the ass Alex is, Craig, if folks want to keep apprised of capers in general, where would be good places for them to look on the internet?
You can go to nerdburgergames.com to see all the stuff. I'm pretty transparent with stuff that's getting designed and getting worked on. You can go. I am Nerdburger Craig at Twitter. So you can check out there. That's a good place for me. That's a good place if you want to like actually kind of chit chat with me, because I actually check that and have, you know, I can have a conversation there.
Sure.
If you backed it, you're seeing the updates come through. If you do order the game through BackerKit, I've got it all set up too, that you receive notification of the updates. So, you know, like, you know, you'll see the progress of everything too. So, you know, if you missed out on the Kickstarter and you want to see the rest of the process and get the game, that'll all be part of picking it up at BackerKit.
So everybody should be checking out Capers so that you can do various kinds of running. rum, gin, or otherwise, or maybe crack down on your friends, illegal unicorn ring, maybe there's no topiary ring, I tried doing that one time. Man, they are harsh. And Alex, if anyone wanted to find out where they could have a caper all their own in Delve-related terms.
We do capers now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have a caper, but we're the kind that you put on fish. We're the fish type capers.
So. Mm, nummy, nummy.
Mm-hmm. Nummy, nummy Delve capers.
That sounds terribly bad.
Well, you know, it pairs really well with bathtub gin.
Such a bad dish. Bathtub gin and capers.
Where could they go if they wanted to find out more about bathtub gin and capers, Alex? No, I'll tell you what it is. It's like those restaurants that Gordon Ramsay goes to, but before the episode. It's Hell's Kitchen before math, not after math.
If you'd like to find more information about Delve, you can find us at delvecast.com.
What can they find at delvecast.com? Anyway,
capers.
Capers? Yeah, that's true.
Bathtub gin.
Yep.
Episodes.
Yep.
Of Delve and Orbital.
Yep. Yep. You can find those there.
Some other stuff.
Yep. Got all those things. Yeah.
You can find the Patreon button that we have there now too.
Oh yeah, you can find the Patreon button there. Yeah, and that goes to a Patreon page. Go figure.
Gee, thanks.
Yeah, go figure. You can do that. So please check that out while you are there. And also make sure to check us out on iTunes and Google Play and all of those podcast apps, which, you know, is great. They have handcrafted podcasts on all of those networks that were finally brewed in aged oak casks. And you can enjoy them, too. Please rate and review and subscribe. And if you give me a good wine rating, I'd be very happy. What is a good wine rating in terms of iTunes, Alex?
I don't know.
Five star, five star, five star, five star.
There you go. Yeah, yeah, all of those. 50 stars.
Heady with a scent of oak.
Exactly. A slight floral tint to it.
This one smells like pine.
It's pine fresh.
With a caper's aftertaste.
Yes, exactly. It tastes like star fruit. It tastes like exactly five star fruits. And if you happen to be over on the Twitter, you happen to be over there, you can check us out. I'm at Citanium.
I'm at EXP Limited, and the show is at Delve Podcast.
And who knows, if you need any more recipes that are caper related, Alex will probably put them on the Delve thing. Right.
Yeah. Right. Sure. Okay. Sure.
There's going to be a whole series. But when we release the episode, there's going to be like a whole series for the week of just caper recipes that we put on the Twitter account.
Yeah. Yeah.
All your Twitter followers are going to be like, "What is this crap?"
I must investigate further by going to the website. Well, good news, you can. That's my sales
pitch.
Nathan's
making promises his mouth can't actually deliver on.
I am cashing checks that I can't actually cash.
That's because of the Depression. The Great Depression from the 20s.
30s.
Sorry.
That's okay.
My history is bad and I feel bad.
That's for the follow-up. That would be like Wall Street before Wall Street. It will be Floor Street. Which actually makes a lot more sense if you think about it.
Oh, Lord.
Than Wall Street.
Are you good now? Are
Floor
you done?
Street.
Are you done, Nathan?
Start from the bottom, now we're here. Drake will be here next week. In a fortnight, even. Thank you for joining us, Craig.
You're welcome. Thank you for entertaining me for an hour plus.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I'm sure at some point we talked about your game.
Yeah. We're good. We're good. Don't worry about it.
All right. Cool. And so for all of you out there who might be interested in bathtub gin and capers, thank you for coming to your only source for such things, Delve, the podcast about tabletop gaming. I know that's why you're listening now. See you next time on Cooking with Alex and Nathan.
Wow.
Enjoy your nerd burger. Okay.
Oh, wow. Oh my.
That's the first recipe that you need at Nerd Burger, though. It's just,
he's still going. I think that's hilarious.
Papers. I need something for the outro. Anyway. I'm going to stop recording now.
You're just going to stop living now. It's all good.
It's fine.
We promise this episode will have something good in it.
I make no promises, but the thing about caper recipes, oh, that's going to happen.